Hello and welcome to another edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. I would imagine that among the things that most folks have a natural fear of, snakes are high on the list. Young boys, unlike real humans, love snakes and think they are the coolest creatures on Earth. I'm sure you've heard of the ultimate B-movie, Snakes on a Plane. Well, I'm calling this edition of Digital Flotsam, Snakes in the Projects. I've mentioned before that I lived in the projects in New York in the late 50s. I've also mentioned how much I loved living there. Maybe it was because I was a kid. I really don't know if my parents loved it as much as I did. The projects were an amazing melting pot, bringing together diverse races and cultures. My building at 209 Jefferson Street contained 40 families, five per floor, stacked up eight high. Our apartment was 2B, which gave us windows that faced the front of the building. In fact, my bedroom window was right above the front entrance. One of my most vivid memories was being introduced to black gospel music right there in that bedroom. On school nights, I had to be in bed by 9. For most kids, being sent to bed that early caused groans and protests, but I kind of liked going to bed at that hour, because it was usually around the time that Mrs. Johnson and her beautiful daughter Gloria would begin to sing. Mrs. Johnson lived in apartment 1B directly below our apartment, and they had a piano in the room right below my bedroom, and they loved to sing gospel music, and they sang it quite well. Normally you didn't hear your neighbors all that much, but my bedroom was unique in that it had the pipes for the heat passing through the floor right there on their way up to the floors above. There was a hole in the floor, a little wider than the pipe, and a similar hole in the ceiling where the pipes entered the apartment above. It was because of that little opening that I could make out the music coming from Mrs. Johnson's apartment. I couldn't hear it clearly, so I would slip out of bed and lay on the cold floor with my ear as close to the spot where the pipes came through as possible. Then I could hear it quite well, and it got to where I looked forward to these little concerts and was disappointed when they didn't happen.
My soul look back and wonder, how did I make it over? Tell me how we got over, Lord. Had a mighty hard time coming all over. You know my soul look back and wonder, how did we make it over? Tell me how we got over, Lord. I've been falling and rising all these years, but you know my soul, look back and wonder, how did I make it over? But soon as I can see Jesus, the man that died for me, man that bled and suffered, and he hung on Calvary, and I want to thank him for how he brought me, and I want to thank God for how taught me. Oh, thank my God I kept me. I'm gonna thank him 'cause he never left me. Then I'm gonna thank God for old time religion. And I'm gonna thank God for giving me a vision. One day I'ma join the heavenly choir, and I'ma sing and never get tired. And then I'm gonna sing somewhere around God's altar, and I'm gonna shout all my trouble over. You know I've got to thank God, thank him for being so good to me.
Of course, Mrs. Johnson's music wasn't the only great thing about the projects. The greatest thing about the projects was the fact that it was full of kids, and plenty of them my own age. We all walked to school together every morning. My best buddy was Billy Tomacek. He lived on the opposite side of the projects in a building facing Richmond Road. We shared a great many interests, things like rock and roll records, recording things on a wire recorder, old monster movies, performing dangerous stunts, building models, and snakes.
In my mailbox, baby, somebody put a spell on me. Yeah, you know I got snakes in my mailbox. Somebody gonna put a spell on me. You know I'm looking over my shoulder. Trying to hoodoo me. You know I got ants in my sugar now, honey. Somebody trying to poison me. You know I got ants in my sugar now, honey. Somebody done trying to poison me. God, I'm so scared now, people. I can't even bring myself to eat. I can't concentrate. I can't even think. Got my mind so tangled up, it's time for me to drink. Tell me now, baby. What am I supposed to do? You know, I got snakes in my mailbox, and it's all on account of you. Thank you. got mice in my mattress, wiggling around all the time. Yeah, you know I got mice in my mattress, baby, wiggle around all the time. You know they keep you up all night, and I'm about to lose my goddamn mind.
Early one spring, when it was still pretty cold out, Billy taught me a great trick. Snakes, unbeknown to me, hibernate over the cold New York winter. I guess I just never even wondered what they did during the winter. But of course, being cold-blooded, they would have to hibernate. Well, the trick Billy taught me is how easy it was to catch snakes when they were still hibernating. In the early spring, when the ground first thawed, all you had to do was go into the woods and pick up any large rocks you could find. Under nearly every big rock was a snake, all curled up and barely conscious. You could pick them right up without them even moving. And as they began to warm in your hand, they became instant friends, clinging to your warm body and crawling up and down your arms, investigating your pockets, and having a great old time. Somewhere, we had learned that there were no poisonous snakes in our area, so we didn't worry at all about what kind of snakes they were. We referred to them all as garter snakes, and in some cases, we were probably even right. Well, it didn't take too many outings of snake handling before we got the idea that we could probably keep these snakes as pets. So on our next sleeping snake mission, we picked out two each to keep. I found a nice, rather large snake that was sort of black with yellow stripes running down its back and sides, and then a much smaller snake that was sort of a grayish-brown color all over. We brought our snakes home. Much to my amazement, I actually talked my parents into letting me keep them. My dad even donated his old unused aquarium tank to the cause. It was perfect. It was rectangular, about 2 feet wide, with tall glass sides and a perfectly fitting metal lid that had a light bulb built into it. I think my parents allowed me to do this because dogs weren't allowed in the apartments and they knew how much I wanted a dog. Of course, the deal was that I had to take care of them. That's the kind of deal that all kids make, and usually violate quickly. But this time, it was pretty clear that it would be my responsibility alone, since my mother refused to get anywhere near them. All went well over the weekend. I fixed up their tank with some rocks and gravel. I gave them some lettuce to eat. I had no clue what they actually ate. The little turtle I had once ate lettuce, so it seemed like a good idea. I played with them every chance I could, but my mother really didn't like them to be taken out of the tank. Well, Monday morning, I said goodbye to my new pets and went off to school. That day, I learned that my friend Billy hadn't fared quite so well. His family had flatly refused to let him keep his snakes, so he had to take them back into the woods and let them go. That day, he walked home from school with me to my building so he could visit my snakes and check out the cool tank my father was letting me use. We frequently walked home together, and when he got to my building, we would part company and Billy would continue on to his building. He was a bit of a joker, and he used to do something quite devious during our walk home from school. It was very subtle, so subtle that he did it for more than a year before I finally caught on that he was doing it to me on purpose. I used to frequently get into trouble with my mom. My mother was forever yelling at me for coming home with my shoes all scuffed up and muddy. She seemed to be fond of pointing out that my friend Billy took better care of the nice things his parents bought him, unlike me. His shoes were always clean and shiny. I never had a good answer. I just assumed I was a slob, and that he really did take better care of his things. What it took me so long to realize was that he was actually the cause. Each day, as we walked the 5 blocks home from our school, we would walk side by side on the sidewalk talking about all the kinds of things that young boys talk about. What I didn't realize was that as we walked, Billy would drift ever so slowly towards me and my side of the sidewalk. Slowly, without ever thinking about it, I would be walking closer and closer to the edge of the sidewalk, and I would inevitably stumble off the edge into the mud or the snow or a puddle or whatever. As I stumbled, he'd make a quick adjustment back towards his side of the sidewalk, and I was none the wiser. He repeated this slow process once or twice during every walk home, time and time again, and I would arrive home with dirty shoes, and his would be just fine. When it finally dawned on me what was going on, it became a constant, unspoken competition to see who could walk the other person into the mud. My shoes never got any cleaner, but his shoes definitely got dirtier once I caught on to how the game was played. Well, on this particular day, as we walked up the walkway to the front of my building, Billy stopped dead in his tracks and looked up at the building and said, "Isn't that your mother?" I looked up. It certainly was. What is she doing? It was a good question. What was she doing? I couldn't hear her, but it looked like she was hollering. And she had a rolled-up newspaper in her hand, and she was swinging it wildly and thrusting it like a sword or something. She was clearly distressed. Then, when she saw us staring up at her, she unlatched the window and swung it open and unleashed a steady stream of swear words. At times, my mother could swear like a sailor, and this was clearly one of those times. My friend Billy, who had once or twice before witnessed my mother's anger, instantly did what he had learned to do in those situations. He turned on his heels, started running down the path, yelling, "See you tomorrow!" I won't repeat all the things she was saying, but in between the swear words, she kept saying, "Out! Out! They're out!" "Huh? Out! Out! They got out!" Then it dawned on me. My snakes had somehow gotten out, and it looked as though she was beating them to death right there on the windowsill. I raced up the stairs without touching a step. I burst into my room. First, I rescued the little brown one that my mother had been beating with a newspaper. It appeared to be still alive. It bit me as I placed it back in the tank and replaced the lid. My mother ran from the room screaming, "I want those blankety-blank snakes out of my blankety-blanking house! If you don't get those blankety-blanking snakes out of this house in 5 minutes, I'll blankety-blank your blankety-blanking-blank!" I frantically looked for the big one. Not in the tank. Not in my dresser. Not on the windowsill. I pulled the dresser away from the wall. Not behind the dresser. I scanned the floor. I got down on my hands and knees. Not under my bed. Where was it hiding? My frantically scanning eyes stopped at the hole for the hot water pipes at the very same moment I heard. Apparently, Mrs. Johnson had found my other snake, and she seemed to be as unhappy as my mother, with one very significant difference. Instead of a barrage of foul language, she kept screaming, "Save me, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Jesus, help me!" Needless to say, I had no more pets of any kind while we lived in the projects. Well, that's not exactly true. 2 days before we moved out of the projects for good, my father came home with a surprise, a cute little dog. I got to keep it in my bedroom, against the rules of the projects, for 2 whole days. Well, there you have it, another edition of Digital Flotsam. So, what did we learn? For one thing, I became a fan of black gospel music when I was still in elementary school. And perhaps more importantly, that if you live in an apartment building, you probably shouldn't allow your son to keep snakes in his room. As always, more detailed credits will appear in the show notes, which can be found at digitalflotsam.org. That's digitalflotsam.org. And now a young man who certainly loves snakes himself provides our closing benediction when he says,
"And P-Dub holded the microphone."